Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we continue in our teaching this week, we're going to continue our teaching series called Healthy Me, A Mind Made Up. And throughout this series, we're seeking to understand or seeking a biblical understanding of our mental health and practical approaches to address that, to take a step of faith towards wholeness and healing in Christ. And today, our topic is a little heavy, so I thought I would begin and introduce that through a beloved cartoon character. This is Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore is an old gray donkey, about hip high, and has a habit of losing his tail. And for generations, this guy, or donkey, has given expression to feelings that most people aren't comfortable talking about, or maybe they're not even sure how to express. You see, Eeyore, while he's a cute and stuffed donkey with some endearing qualities, of course, he also embodies a life lived with depression. A life lived with depression. Let's watch what some of that looks like.
It's only you.
Sorry to disappoint you. Guess I'm too dull to be around. Can't blame you for moving away.
I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey. Don't want to ruin everyone's good time.
You're getting warm.
Looks like fun. Wish I could have some. End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No matter. Most likely lives it again anyway.
That's Eeyore. Throughout this cartoon, Eeyore often has a pessimistic outlook. He deals with overly critical thoughts of himself, and he often embodies a general sense of hopelessness about the future. And I wonder today, have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced feelings of depression? And I also wonder today, how many of you have heard the old saying, been there, done that, got the t-shirt? Yeah? All right. Well, I brought a picture of the t-shirt my wife got me for Christmas. And I wore it today. Life's okay. Have you ever been there? You ever dealt with those feelings of depression? You might not have lost your tail. You might not even look like anything outwardly is wrong, but you know it on the inside. It's dark. It's gloomy. Might feel heavy or hopeless. I don't deal with depression quite like Eeyore, but there's definitely seasons where I can relate to those feelings enough that I really wanted that t-shirt. Most times I can't tell you why I feel the way I feel, but it's there. And the reality is that many people, yes, including Christians, deal with depression. And chances are, it could be someone sitting pretty close to you even today. It could be someone with a testimony like Grace. Let's watch.
When I was in college, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. It started really small, almost unnoticeable. I had a complete loss of appetite. It was hard for me to get out of bed in the morning or at all eventually. I stopped going to my classes. I stopped going to any social events and completely pulled away from everything that I had been doing before. I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I pretty much stopped going to church. I completely lost interest. There was probably a good few months where I wasn't really talking to God. I wasn't interested. I would say I was a pretty strong believer going into all of this. And I think that's actually what made some of my diagnosis and that journey so difficult. I was fantasizing about ending my life, and it really just took over everything. Probably just about every thought that went through my head was related to how could I escape? How could I make this stop? How could I stop being a burden? I got so comfortable in the darkness that the darkness became my home. I was starting to feel more comfortable there than maybe in areas of light or towards healing.
So when I wasn't doing well, I actually kept a lot of journals during that time. And this is where I really got a lot of my thoughts and feelings and prayers out. I found comfort in the violent storm, in the steady attack of my own mind betraying itself. The confusion becomes so strong that numbness is the only escape.
I had a few people who were trying to walk beside me through it, but I was very good at pushing them away and still isolating myself. It reached the point where, against my will, my parents had to intervene. They took my keys and said that we're going to the hospital, which was probably one of the hardest moments of my life so far. And I can't imagine it was any easier for my parents either.
Yeah. Something she says there, I got so comfortable in the darkness that I felt more at home there. That's a powerful testimony. Depression is a powerful enemy that must be taken seriously. Feelings of depression can come from many different things, and it can range in severity from mild and occasional to clinical and constant, and it can be debilitating. Feelings of depression are real, but they don't have to be permanent. You see, they aren't outside of the capacity of our Lord to heal. Let me say that one more time. Feelings of depression are real, but they don't have to be permanent because they are not outside the care and capacity of our Lord to heal. For those of us who deal with feelings of depression, whether occasionally or constantly, Jesus has a compassionate invitation. He simply says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Friend, no matter your experience of depression today, I want you to hear there's hope. Jesus invites us, come to me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we hear your invitation today to come. So, Lord, I pray that you would come today. God, open our hearts and our minds to your word, to what you have to say about those feelings of depression. Lord, may we take you at your word and step into your invitation to find rest, to take that step of faith and come. Lord, we need you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This teaching series, Healthy Me, is really all about bringing hope to those of us who sometimes struggle with mental health challenges. This series is not about quick fixes. It's not another person from the church just saying, have more faith or pray harder and it'll go away. Now, we believe in faith and we believe in prayer, but this is really a compassionate invitation. It's a compassionate invitation to a biblical approach to a healthy me, to wholeness and healing in Christ. Last week, if you weren't able to join us, we started the series talking about loneliness and looking at this idea that one in four people, yes, one in four people, even within this room statistically, deal with feelings of loneliness. And if you missed out on that and you want to catch up, I would invite you to our website, cotnaz.org. There's a watch listen tab there. You can scroll down and follow up with the audio recordings of the messages. And today we're talking about depression. And depression is more than a bad day or feeling a little blue. Depression is really a sense of gloom or darkness that lays over you. It's persistent feelings of sadness or anxiousness, and often you can't pinpoint why. You might feel like crying. You might not have the motivation to even get out of bed, or perhaps everyday tasks are just simply overwhelming to you. It's depression. You might feel hopeless or even helpless about the future. You might struggle to find joy. You might struggle to find joy even in things you once loved to do. And depression, it doesn't just manifest itself in crying and sadness, and I think that's one of the things that makes it hard to recognize. Because you see, it can also show up as being really irritated or easily angered. And if I'm honest, that's one of the ways that I think those feelings affect me, is that I'll just wake up and I have to confess to my family before, like, I'm just irritated today and I have no idea why. Can be a sign of depression. Those feelings that we wrestle with, they might last anywhere from several days to several months, maybe even years. Those feelings, they tend to get in the way of our daily lives. You see, we certainly hear more about depression today, but it's definitely not new. You see, people throughout the scriptures, they deal with feelings of depression in different seasons. We see Jeremiah, Job, King David, and the Apostle Paul, just to name a few, wrestling with feelings of depression. For our teaching text today, I want to take a look at a story from the life of the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a man of great faith in the Lord. He was charged with calling out the sin of Israel while they were worshiping false gods. And in Elijah's lifetime, God did amazing things through this prophet. One time, God spoke through Elijah and said that it wouldn't rain and there would be no dew on the land for 3 years, and it happened. I'm just saying, that's weather forecasting at a completely different level than what we're used to, right? But that's Elijah. He spoke those words and it happened. That's Elijah. On another occasion, 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah calls down literal fire from heaven and it happened. Think about that a moment. In front of crowds of people, fire fell down from the sky and consumed and completely burnt up wood that had been soaked with water. Think about that. As I thought about that, I was like, man, that would be the greatest snow melt strategy ever if you could do that on command. But that's not how Elijah used his faith. He was a giant in the faith. He did miraculous things. He's looked upon as one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, and he dealt with depression. 1 Kings 19, that's where we're going to be today. If you want to turn with me in your copy of Scripture. This is following that fire from heaven thing. The evil queen Jezebel, she threatens Elijah. She says that by the end of the next day, I'm going to kill you. Now, this is a credible threat. She's the queen. But this is Elijah. He just called down fire from heaven. I mean, what is this threat from this queen compared to that? Right? Like, common sense says this is no big deal. But Elijah's emotions said something completely different. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. The guy who just called down fire from heaven takes off. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. There was about an 80 or 100 mile run he just did there. He didn't just run to Shenandoah, he ran. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Feelings of deep sadness or despair, hopelessness, negative thoughts about yourself, marks of depression. If you ever thought that people who deal with depression just need to have a little more faith in God and that it would all go away, Elijah says you might want to think again. Depression can come into our lives through many different things. It can stem from a physical issue with our bodies, or it can be coming from a relational challenge that we're facing. It could be from the loss of a loved one, or even something like getting let go of a job. Depression can even be a reflection of a spiritual battle that we're facing. Truth be told, we might not know why we feel the way we feel. For Elijah, it was this threat. It was this situation. It was fear for his life. And to be fair, Elijah does what many of us do when our emotions run away. He sought isolation. I just want to be left alone. He sought isolation. With Elijah, he withdrew from his daily life. He isolated himself. He lays down under a tree and he asked the Lord to take his life. The greatest prophet in the Old Testament. We all deal with depression differently. Some people deal with depression by distracting themselves, whether with social media or shopping or hobbies. Others might obsess and zero in on something they can control. We might seek a comfort from food or drinks. We might do like Elijah and isolate ourselves. However we deal with it, that is really one of the telltale signs of depression, is that it affects our daily lives. And that's certainly what we see for Elijah. And at this point, like, I don't know about you, but that gives me just a little bit of hope. Because if one of the greatest prophets to ever live dealt with these feelings, and somewhat not so successfully always, why on earth would I or anyone else, for that matter, think they were immune to depression? That tells me that dealing with feelings of depression doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It means that you're human. And you need God's help. Friends, that's really what draws me into the story of Elijah today. You see, it doesn't end here under the broom tree. God doesn't answer Elijah's prayer to die. Far from killing him, like he asked, God sends an angel to feed him, to take care of him. He sends Elijah a sandwich, and he allows him to take a nap. Even when Elijah's running away, you see the Lord was there to care for him. And it's interesting, the Lord's first words for Elijah. I mean, in this season, you could imagine the Lord's going to like run him down everything he did wrong. He's going to give him a lecture about his fear and actions. He's going to give him a good talking to, right? No. The Lord's first words to this runaway prophet was a simple question. 1 Kings 19:9, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? You see, the Lord knew the answer. He was inviting Elijah into a conversation about what was really going on. What are you doing here? And man, Elijah, he takes this opportunity. He dives in. He tells the Lord, he just pours it out. And that's what we see in verse 10. It says, he, Elijah, replied to this question. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Feelings of despair, failure, hopelessness, a little bit of irritation and frustration, feeling all alone in the world. And Elijah just pours out his heart to the Lord. He tells him exactly what he's feeling. And if we're honest, like I think you read that, and it's okay to say, man, this is like an ugly, unfiltered, and honest prayer, right? He just pours it out. But what we see is the Lord answer in the most beautiful way. Verse 13, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. To this runaway prophet, hiding in isolation, dealing with feelings of depression and despairing of life itself, God shows up. And not in a big and dramatic way, but with a gentle whisper. Verse 13 says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Second time. See, the Lord met Elijah in the midst of his depression, not with condemnation or judgment, not with a lecture, but with compassion and a plan. A plan to get his life back on track. And so, friends, if you're dealing with depression, I pray that brings you just a little bit of encouragement today. Because dealing with depression doesn't disqualify you from being seen and heard by God. It doesn't have to define your future, and it certainly doesn't disqualify you from being used by God. It simply means that you're human and you need help. And the good news today is he's here. He's here, and he's ready to help. Friends, there is hope. There's hope. Let's watch the rest of Grace's story.
My parents had to intervene. They took my keys and said that we're going to the hospital, which was probably one of the hardest moments of my life so far. And I can't imagine it was any easier for my parents either. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a kickstart to me, at least realizing that I needed help.
I want to live. There is so much more. I want to live. I am worth healing. I want to live so I can love and be loved. I want to live. My life is not over.
I really started to dive deeper into my relationship with God, and I was able to find some healing in that relationship with him and some reconciliation, and also able to look back at what I had gone through and see that he didn't leave me. As much as it felt like it when I was in that space, looking back, I know that if I was truly alone and if he wasn't beside me, I probably wouldn't be here. I still have to work hard, even today. So I still go to therapy, I take medicine, I have a really strong support system around me. Anytime there's an opportunity to learn more about mental health or connect with others, especially within the church, I will take that opportunity. I think that it's gonna be a lifelong process of healing from this.
I know I will make it through this, but I don't fully understand why you allowed it to happen. Why does mental illness exist, and how can we fight against it?
I know that I can ask God those hard questions, and I know that I can, you know, wrestle with him, and that he's not afraid of it, and he's not afraid of my questions, and he's not afraid of mental health, mental illness, anything that comes with it. He's always gonna be there to listen and be there with open arms.
My name is Grace,
and I am a life changed by Christ.
Part of our goal in this teaching series is to offer some practical tools to help us on this journey towards a healthy me. So I want to end today, this conversation about depression, with a simple invitation. A simple word to help guide us when our thoughts turn heavy or dark or gloomy. And that invitation is to pray. Now, before you huff and shut your notes, just hang with me a minute. You see, pray is an acrostic, P-R-A-Y. Each letter pointing to a bigger idea, a tool that might be able to help us on this journey. And so if you're a note taker, this section is for you. You can jot these down. Pray, P-R-A-Y, first as we begin, pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. This is the idea that we are giving language in prayer to how we are feeling. Naming those feelings, telling the Lord exactly what's going on. And we see Elijah do this in his story, right? He told the Lord how he was feeling. He told him of the despair, the fear, the hopelessness. He just poured it all out before the Lord. And you might say, well, was that just an Elijah thing, or does that show up other places? It's a lot of other places. David in the Psalms, he does this same thing. He names feelings. He pours it out to the Lord. Psalm 31, 9 and 10, David praying, he says, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak." Friends, there is power and healing in giving words to our feelings, to naming them, to being honest with ourselves that we really are feeling what we're feeling. And now we're putting language and thought to that, and we're giving it to the Lord, telling Him how we feel, pouring it all out. He already knows. This is a step of faith to look to Him and tell Him how we feel. And after you get all of that out, begin to refocus on Him. Refocus on Him. And I know that some of this might sound too simple or too cliche, but hang with me. I think this specifically is a crucial step. You see, when we pour out our feelings, when we tell God all about what we're feeling, we're really looking inside and we're doing an audible inventory of what we see and what we feel. Right, so we're looking inside and we're identifying all of these things, and that process, that prayer, can be exhausting. It can be draining. And in that moment, after pouring it all out, we might feel like we're done. Not like finished praying, we just might be exhausted. I'm done. That's all I got. But friends, here's the truth. If we stop there, if we stop with that internal inventory, we haven't looked anywhere for true help. We must refocus on the Lord and look to Him. This psalm, Psalm 31 that we just read from, David does this very thing. He poured it all out, his anguish, all of those feelings, and then he turns and looks to the Lord. He reminds himself of who God is. Look at verse 14 and 16. David, in the same psalm, in the same prayer, he says, "But I trust in you, Lord. All of these feelings are real. All of these feelings are true, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love." Friends, don't miss this step. Don't miss this step. It's easy to get done with our internal inventory of emotions and feelings and be exhausted, and then we start to turn away and we look to something to soothe those feelings, right? We start scrolling on social media, or we start shopping, or we start whatever, but we stop short of looking to the Lord and refocusing our thoughts on the truth of who he is and how he's there with us to help. Don't forfeit your privilege as a child of God to look to your heavenly Father when you're feeling dark and heavy. Know that he's there and that he loves you. Refocus on him. P-R-A, a sandwich. And you're like, what? Eat a sandwich. I felt like this list needed to be lightened up a little bit. A sandwich is a way to remember that we need to take care of our physical needs when we're feeling depressed. If that's not studious enough for you note takers, just write attention to physical needs. If that feels better, do it. I'm going to eat a sandwich. It's interesting in Elijah's story, when you look at that, you look at what's happening. The first way the Lord shows up to him in his story that we see in the scriptures is through an angel giving him food and water. Before the Lord addressed this runaway prophet, before he started unpacking what was going on, he met his physical needs. And friends, as I looked into this and was studying this week, and I was researching tools and steps and things to think about and consider when dealing with depression, on practically every list I looked at, taking care of your physical needs was right there. And it's simple stuff. It's simple stuff. It's eating proper amounts of healthy foods. It's resisting the urge to overindulge on sweets or junk food. It's making sure you're getting physical exercise, of getting fresh air and sunlight. It's making sure you're sleeping enough. It's keeping a regular routine. And look, as I read that, I know that, like, it sounds too simple. And I don't think there's any magic in any one of those things, but I think when you begin to bring that together, it's a crucial piece in the journey towards a healthy me. Taking care of your physical needs. Finally, why? Yes, Lord, I will. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because practically everything that's going to help us get out of depression, that's going to help us deal with those feelings, is going to go against what we want to do in that moment. Everything that's going to help us is going to go against what we're feeling, what we feel like we want to do. We've got to push against, we've got to press through those feelings to take a step towards healing and wholeness. And friends, like, can we be honest? This is probably one of the hardest parts of this, is going against what you're feeling. Like, you might feel like you just want to be left alone. I've got all I can handle here. I just want to be left alone. Friends, isolation is terrible for you when you're feeling this way. And so what does it look like to press through? It looks like saying, all right, Lord, like, I know I can't isolate. I know I want to, but okay, I'll call a friend. I'll invite someone to go fishing with me or to go to town. I'll press through. Man, we might not feel like going to the doctor. We might not feel like doing what they've advised or what they've prescribed for us. Pressing through might be saying yes to what a trained professional in prayer has told you and guided you in this journey. Yes. Yes. Man, we might feel like devouring that whole tub of ice cream in the freezer. Okay, yeah, I'll just have a serving. Press through. Man, we might feel like quitting it all. I'm not going to work. I'm done with that place. I'm done with all of that stuff. I don't feel like being with my family. Man, I gotta press through. Yes, Lord, I'll go to work tomorrow, and I'll come home on time. Even though I feel like driving till I run out of gas. Yes. Man, we might not feel like praying We might not feel like working through a four-letter acrostic that the preacher gave. Might not feel like reading the Bible. Yes, Lord, I will. Even though it's the last thing I want to do right now, I will. Pray. Would you stand with me today? What you're feeling today, if you're dealing with depression, is serious and it's real. And the reality is, we can't fight it passively. We've got to take an active role in seeking health. We've got to say yes to the solutions that the Lord guides us to, that He leads us to. Depression is real, but so is God's power to heal. You receive that hope today. Pastor Terry and I are going to make our way to the back of the room here as the band leads us in our final song. If we can join you today in prayer, if you resonate with this message, with the topic of depression, or maybe you know a loved one that does, and you would just like prayer, we'll be available in the back. There's no pressure. It's just an invitation. Take a step of faith. Yes, Lord, I'll go pray. I'll go pray. It's just open. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we give you thanks for, Lord, thanks for your word, and thanks for not hiding when your people got it wrong, or when they were struggling, when they were wrestling. Lord, it lets us know that as you were faithful then, be faithful now. And so, Lord, in this area of depression, of dark, heavy thoughts, or maybe, Lord, it's anger that we just can't deal with. Lord, I pray that you would lead us in accepting your invitation to come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest. Lord, we look to you today for the strength, the power, the call to take this step towards healing and wholeness in Christ. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray, I'd be happy to join you.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.